Let's turn in the scriptures now to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15. We're on our trek through Proverbs. And we want to go to chapter 15. And starting at verse 16, because we left off at verse 16 before Easter came and vacations and sicknesses, and we're all done with all of those things. And so here we are back in Proverbs. Now these first two verses, because in the Proverbs, as I've shared with you before, most of the time, one verse is one complete thought. And so you could actually do a whole sermon on just one verse. But in order to get through Proverbs before Jesus comes, well, maybe not, he might come tonight, but we do six or seven or eight verses each time. So we're starting off with verse 16. We're going to go through verse 24 today. And verses 16 and 17 are about the same subject. And they say this, better is a little with the fear of the Lord. It's better just to have a little substance, just to get along. Even though we ain't got money, I'm still in love with you, honey, kind of feeling. And better is a little with the fear of the Lord, respect for God, than great treasures and trouble therewith. Better then, in verse 17 says, better is a dinner of herbs, or actually another translation says, better is a dish of vegetables, a dish of vegetables, where love is, than a stalled ox or a great big giant roast beast for dinner, and hatred therewith. And of course, probably a lot of us have experienced both. You know, it's so great to just have a love feast with friends, with loved ones, with family. And it's just so great to have that togetherness. And, you know, even if it's not as much as you might want it to be. But then you can actually go to a giant, wonderful gourmet dinner. And if there's strife or hatred or games, political games going on or whatever, it's indigestion. It's just, you just want to go home and put your feet up and eat chocolate chip cookies or something somewhere else. So we know these things, and this is the wisdom that God gives Solomon to write to us in these two verses, to consider these things. Now, when I first started writing the sermon, I thought, where is an example of this in the Old Testament? And Sherry piped up and said, Daniel. And I thought, wow. There you go. And then I read Dr. Vernon McGee's commentary on these verses, and guess who he gave as an example? Daniel. I'm thinking, man, my wife and Vernon McGee really know the Bible. This is good. And so let's go to Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, verse 12. Now, Daniel is after Proverbs, and you get to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, verse 12. We're going to start at verse 12, and I'll just give you a little background here. Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, are princes in Israel. And they were taken captive by the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and taken to Babylon. And they were very young, about 17 years old, around in that area. And the king's idea, because they were princes, and this was his practice, that he would get young men from the places he conquered and raised them up to be wise men in his kingdom, to bring the best of other nations to help counsel him. And so he gave them to eat from his table, meaning that they brought all the foods that the Babylonians eat and wine and stuff to drink to these young boys. And you know, Daniel and his friends took a stand, and they said, And instead of doing it in a rough, tough way and getting in all kinds of trouble, the man that was over them is called Melzar. They came to Melzar and just asked if they could please eat their native food, which is pulse. And pulse is actually a mixture of grains and vegetables and fruits. And so when we read dish of vegetables in the proverb that we just read, that we're springing from, that really fits this story about Daniel. because it was vegetables he was asking for, with grains and fruits and so forth. Actually, Sherry has a recipe called Pulse, and that's what it's called here. Let's go ahead and read these scriptures. As Daniel says to Melzar, "Prove your servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before you, and the countenances of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat." Of course, the king would eat pork, and pork was against the Jewish diet. And of course, you know, it's probably a good idea not to eat too much pork for you and I. Say the cholesterol people. Oh, yeah. There's so much fat in pork, and acidic things, too, that can make you have to use Tums a lot later. God knew this all these years ago, and he was saving people from too much cholesterol in their diet and having heart problems later. Well, you see, God knew that way before the doctors, but the doctors caught up with that. And so Daniel refused the pork, and or is asking permission not to eat the pork and all the different things that were against the Jewish diet, but to rather eat pulse and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon, as I read, and so forth, and see and deal with your servants. So he consented to them, Melzar, the man that was over them, in this matter, and proved them 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. God blessed them for the respect for him. The fear of the Lord. It's better to have little with the fear of the Lord, respect for God and God's word, as they were given their kosher diet to eat by. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse, the dish of vegetables. Did I tell you about Sherry's good bread? She's got a recipe for this good bread, and it's really called pulse. And it has fruit in it, like I think pineapple is in it, and some vegetables, and then also the grains. It's kind of like carrot cake. Does anybody like carrot cake? You know, when I first heard that I was going to be offered a piece of carrot cake, I thought, what in the world did anybody, how did anybody ever have an idea to put carrots in cake? To me, they were just totally opposite. You know, how are you going to make a carrot taste good? Well, all of you that have had carrot cake, you know how good that is. And so this pulse that Sherry makes is called good bread. It's healthy for you, and it's good stuff. So anyway, this is where we see someone accepting the fear of the Lord and keeping God's word, and allowing themselves to be somewhat disciplined in their diet. So that is Daniel right there. Now, another good application to this, these scriptures, is given in the New Testament in Luke 12, starting at verse 16. So let's turn over there to Luke 12, 16. Matthew is the first gospel, and then we go to Mark and then Luke. Luke 12, 16. And we'll get the connection here, actually, in verse 21 of Luke 12, but let's read this parable that Jesus spoke first. Now he, that is Jesus, spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?' And he said, 'This will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul,'" you know, this is really something to see. Who's he talking to? He's talking to himself. "I'm going to say to my soul, soul," instead of praying to God, or even considering the Lord. There's no fear for the Lord here. There's no love for God at all. For I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat and drink and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool, this night your soul is required of you. So that soul that he was talking to himself, it was required of him that night. And of course, that is something that happens to 100% of the people. We all face that day that our soul is required of us. Then who shall those things be which you have provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself, and here's the punchline, and is not rich toward God. Not rich toward God. And so we remember our proverb, where love is, I'd rather have the dish of vegetables where love is instead of the big oxen or piece of beef or whatever, where hatred is absent of the love of God, not flowing in the Spirit, not being about the things of God. And so this is just wisdom. And so this man was not rich toward God. He didn't have the true riches of the love of the Lord. For God's commandments are love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love each other as ourselves. And so the love is the thing. And so important, not the meal and not the riches or how much I have in riches. And so the lesson for us there, again, as we think of these proverbs helping us out that way. Okay, well, good. Let's go on back now to Proverbs chapter 15. And we want to look at the next few verses here. Proverbs 15 and verses 18 and 19. Now it says this, a wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. He's able to be the peacemaker when there's strife around. This last Tuesday night was at the city council meeting, and my job was to open the council meeting in prayer. And there was a man there that actually kind of was wandering around, and everybody was kind of looking at him like, what's going to happen next? And he, this was before the meeting, and he started to mumble and then got louder and louder. And he zeroed me out. I was in the second row waiting to get up to the microphone and pray when the meeting started. But he started to preach to me and to get angrier and angrier. I said nothing. I didn't say anything to make him mad. He was just a mad, angry person, a wrathful man, stirring up strife, and began then to lecture me. And in his lecture, he told me that Calvary Chapel pastors are horrible and stinking. And I was starting to get to me, you know. I kind of wanted to be a wrathful man myself. And then I remembered where I was, is in the middle of a whole bunch of business suits, and a couple of Olympic-bound teams are there to be honored. And everybody's starting to look. And this guy is just going off. And you know, the first thing I thought, and as he continued to just rail, is that he is just an angry man. And boy, you could really see this proverb in action. A wrathful man stirs up strife. But in the midst of his tirade, he happened to mention he's been eating from garbage cans. And so the Lord spoke to me to just ask if I could pray for him. And so I just said, can I pray for you, for God's provision for you, for your food? And he said, no, I don't want any prayer. And he just went off again. And I thought, oh no, man, this guy's not open even to prayer. And so we knew it was going to be bad. But praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, because God showed us later that as long as I kept mellow and just allowed the wrathful string of whatevers. And Sherry noticed that the guard, they have a guard at the city council meeting, of course, watching, and he wasn't making any moves. So apparently he knew this guy. This is what goes on. All you can do is grin and bear it kind of thing, you know. And so later we just figured out, you know, the Lord just allowed me to be the focal point of his wrath so that he wouldn't get to anybody else and wouldn't cause any trouble, just to remain mellow and just be the peaceful guy. And the Lord used the idea of, do you want to really embarrass yourself? Do you want to yell at this guy and then it's time for you to get up and pray? I don't think so. So anyway, at the end of all that, I just said, you know what? It's time for the meeting now. And praise God. He obeyed that, shut up, and sat down. Hallelujah. You know, it was really getting to me. You know, I could feel it rising. But praise the Lord for that. Well, we don't want to be that type of person, do we? Oh, God, help us. We're to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. God, help us with that. An angry, angry man just stirs up strife. And we don't want to stir up strife. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said. And so we've got to strive for that. And this is what Solomon is letting us know. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. We just begin to feel the strife settle down when whatever you have to go through is over. Praise the Lord for that. Now, the way of the slothful or the lazy person is a hedge of thorns. Of the righteous is made plain, or is like a highway. It's like a highway. That's what's in a different translation. Now, this hedge of thorns, I'd like to say this first. This might be speaking of a person that's so lazy, they're too lazy to remove a hedge of thorns out of the way. And so they're be hedged in with it because they don't want to remove it. They're lazy about it. But I really think in a larger sense, the path of the lazy person, his path is really harder than if he had worked. Why don't you just do something? Why don't you just work and let this path be a plain path and a highway to go on and not trying to get through a hedge of thorns? Oftentimes on a really high cliff, they'll put a hedge of thorns at the top of the cliff so that people that stop to look at the view won't get too close to the cliff and fall over. Because going through a hedge of thorns is just ridiculously painful with all the bricks and things that go on, and trying to get through is almost impossible because the stuff grabs you and sticks to you. And so the idea here is that to really be lazy is so not just counterproductive for maybe the people you're working for, but also counterproductive to yourself, because it becomes a source of guilt. It becomes a source of thinking low of yourself instead of high, that we should do everything as unto the Lord, whatever our job is. And then the highway of the Lord just appears, and a straight way is shown about what we should do each day. Getting away from just the obstacles and the pain and the weirdness of being lazy. And you know, and I've mentioned this many times before on sermons about jobs, if you're going to watch the clock at work, the day goes by so slow. Have you ever noticed that? It's just a slow day. Man, what time is it? It's 5 to 11. Oh, what time is it? It's 3 to 11. Oh, what time is it? It's 2 to 11. When is lunch going to be here? I'm not even in the hour that lunch is coming, and I'm just going crazy. But if you find something to do, and you get busy, and you just look around for stuff to do, to bless the company, do it as unto Christ, and knowing that you're serving the Lord Christ, as we're told in Colossians, the day will go by quicker. And all of a sudden it'll be lunchtime, and all of a sudden it'll be time to go. And it's a blessing, and you've accomplished things and got things done. And this is a much better way. And that's God's path, the way of the righteous. And we're only righteous in Jesus Christ by accepting him. And he leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His name is Jesus. And because he died and bled on that cross for our sins, he now has a path of righteousness to lead us in. And that path of righteousness is a plain path. It's a highway. The King's highway. You know, when they first paved the street out here just recently, it was so great to drive down that street because there's none of the potholes or the bumps that make you feel like you need a tune-up on your car. But even the cars that might need a tune-up feel better on that nice paved road. And another thing I might mention, if you wash your car, it'll drive better. Did you ever notice that? I don't know. I think it's psychological. It's got to be. But the thing is, when I wash the car, it goes smoother. I don't know why. Anyway, well, let's move on from that because that's not real. But as you go down the asphalt that's just been paved, it is so, so nice. God has a paved way for you. It's not saying it's not going to have its bumps or lumps or whatever in the trials along the way, but you will feel a confidence and a peace in your heart that you're on the right road. And you'll begin to sense that you're in the center of God's will, even with the trials. You just know that the Lord is doing a work because you've given it to Him. You've submitted it to Him. You've turned your thoughts and your path over to Him. And He will direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. Let's take a look at a couple of verses, one in Old and one in New Testament. Let's look at Exodus 24:10. I like to quote this a lot, but we haven't turned to it in a long time, so I want you to see it. Exodus 24:10. Now the Lord had called Moses to bring the elders of Israel up to the Mount of God, to Mount Sinai, and to visit with the Lord. And so in verse 9 of chapter 24 of Exodus, it says, "And then went up Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were the body of heaven in clearness." Now the work that was at the feet of the Lord is this paved work, and not on asphalt, dirty old stinky asphalt, but on a sapphire stone. And so we begin to think of King's things here, the King's highway. And this shows us that God has a plan. He's got a definite plan. And that actually we're told in the scriptures that Jesus Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world because God had a plan, knowing in his omniscience, in his all-knowing part of who he is, that man would need help. Aren't you glad? God knew in advance that you need help. You see this dear person down here? They need help. And I'm going to send them help. My son is going to pay for all their sin. And we are washed and we are cleansed as we confess our sins from all unrighteousness. And so then that paved work, that beautiful work on the sapphire stone that's before God, being shown here to the elders of Israel in the beginning of all religious gathering that we see in the Bible, except the, you know, with the family making altars and so forth, is now this new work of God, bringing the law of God. For what reason? To bring us to Christ. For the Jewish law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And so this work, this paved work, all set up for you to be able to walk in a plain path on the King's highway. And so the King's highway is there before us. And as we decide in our hearts to give it up to the Lord each day and say, you know what, Lord, I want to walk in a plain path today. In fact, there's a prayer in the Psalms, and this is from Psalm 27:11. Lord, lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Whoa, that's something to think about. if I can find the Lord's plain path, His highway for me, I am going to be helped with all my enemies. Every demon in hell can lie to me. The devil himself can come to get me. As Jesus said about Peter, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. The Lord begins and does, He ever lives to make intercession for us, to pray for us, to get us on the right path, the plain path, because of my enemies. And so the prayer is, Lord, lead me in a plain path. Put me on your highway because of my enemies. And those that would come against you, you'll know what to do in that time. As God told Sherry and I to hold our peace there when that man was railing on us and fellow pastors, your part right now is just hold your peace, receive a peace. That is your path right now. And so it's so good to know that that can happen and that can be true, and it is true. For the righteous in Christ will be led in a plain path, in this beautiful path. Let's just enjoy some scriptures in the New Testament for a second on this, from the Good Shepherd chapter. Let's look at the Good Shepherd chapter, John chapter 10 in the New Testament. John chapter 10, verse 14. Jesus says in verse 14 of John 10, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, when we begin to doubt that the Lord has the best way for us, we should consider this. We're His sheep, and He laid down His life for us. If He died for us, if He gave up His life for us, how much more will He freely give us all things? That's a verse from Romans 8. And give you the right answers for your life, to give you the right solutions to your problems, and lead us. As it says in Isaiah 58, let me get the reference on this, Isaiah 58:11. The Lord shall guide you continually. Love that word, continually. And so it goes on, and it says this in verse 16, and this is so personal here for us. It's personal for us. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, that the Lord, beyond the disciples of the first century, beyond His ministry before He went to the cross and ascended into heaven, the other fold, which are not of this fold, I have sheep that are not of this fold, them also I must bring, they shall hear my voice. So when we're tempted to think, okay, Peter heard the Lord's voice. Peter walked with Him for 3 years and heard His voice. But here we see that we being sheep of the other fold, it will come later, 2,000 years later for us, we're also going to hear His voice. We will hear it. And we will see that plain path. It'll be made plain to you, be very plain to you and plain to me. And then it will be on this highway with Him. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. God's totally interested in getting you in a very, very intimate talking relationship with Him personally. You have pastors and teachers, you have spiritual leaders, you have great grandmas that are just awesome, and you have moms and dads that seek the Lord, many of us do. But the thing is, God wants to hear from you individually and personally about your own particular life. And as I do that, He will speak to me. He will show me in the way I should go. He will do it. And that is awesome to know. Even if you have to get lost in San Francisco, He will show you what you need to do. that your granddaughter will not hold a grudge against you the rest of her life. No, no, that she'll love you even the more. And so there it is with this tremendous thing that Jesus has to say from the Good Shepherd chapter. Now, let's continue, and it's really continuing the same idea back in Proverbs. We have a few more verses to do. Let's go back to Proverbs 15. I love it that God promises a plain path, don't you? Isn't that a great promise? That your path isn't going to be ridiculously confusing if you just give it to God. Just give it to the Lord. He will solidify, make it transparent, make it clear. It was so clear. That's what it said about that paved work that was at the Lord's feet that Moses and the elders saw. There was a clearness there, a clearness of heaven. Right there. Beautiful. Okay, let's read verses 20 through 22 now. It says, a wise son makes a glad father. You want to make your dad glad? Be wise. But a foolish man despises his mother. And that is really odious. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. In other words, some people really get their kicks out of doing wicked things to other people. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom. But a man of understanding walks uprightly. That upright in the Lord. Now, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. The body of Christ is so wonderful. And you know what? As we come to church and fellowship with the body of Christ, there's always something God will have for you. Like a dime for every time somebody has said, have you been talking to my wife? Because I said something that applied to them. It's not me. You and I know that. It's the Holy Ghost that ministers to his body when his body comes together. And so you might get something from the guy next to you or the person that's next to you after service. Be listening. Have a listening ear. God might have something for you. And if you need counsel, don't be afraid to talk to your friends in Christ, to come to the prayer room, to go to prayer meetings and ask for prayer. And God will speak to you. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And it is a tremendous thing in operation with the body of Christ. I had an experience just a couple weeks ago. I was coming off the playground with the trays from lunch. And I brought them into the kitchen. And the lady that works in the kitchen and was there. And I'd been having trouble praying for about a week. The pastor has trouble praying? Well, this pastor does. I don't know about the rest of them. They're probably better off than I am. But anyway, the thing is I just was having trouble praying. That's the truth of it. And just felt like the heavens were brass. And I wasn't getting through. And I wasn't feeling fulfilled in prayer, even at the times that were planned. So I poured that out to the dear sister that works in the kitchen. I just came up to her, and it just came out of my mouth. I just said, you know, I've been having trouble praying. And I don't know what's the matter with me, you know? And you know what? She said a one-liner that changed the whole deal. That is when you sing. Isn't that good? When you're having trouble praying, that is when you sing. Because the trouble is usually with thankfulness. We're to make our prayers with thanksgiving. But if we get in complaining mode, and that's our prayer, really. Yeah, Lord. And when's it going to end? You know, if that's your prayer, you're not going to feel very good. But if you go with thanksgiving, with faith in your heart, then you see those prayers begin to lift. And so the word, that is when you sing. And she started singing, Jesus Loves Me. Let's just do that. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Could you feel it? Could you feel the preciousness of singing to the Lord right there? God knows how to inhabit the praises of his saints, and then prayer begins to come again. And that's what I did. I started singing through the day, and I started just singing in the car and just getting away from that terrible oppression that was on me and getting back into the flow with a gracious God that when I'm weak, he's strong. He's even the one who prays through me. Praise God. That is when you sing. Well, let's go on to the next verse because it fits right with this. It says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, verse 23, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. It's good. When you get the right word at the right time in the right place, how good it is. And you can give those words and you can receive those words in the multitude of counselors. That's the time that you sing. Glory to God. And we're going to do that in a minute. We're going to sing. And let's take a look now, verse 24. This is the last verse. The way of life leads to above, to the wise, that he might depart from hell beneath. Pretty straightforward. Right there. That's really the whole story. The way of Jesus, the way of righteousness, the way of life is above. And we seek the things that be above. We set our affection, Colossians chapter 3, on the things above, not on the things on the earth. That you may depart from hell beneath. No, we don't want to go there. Thank you very much. No, I don't want to even think about thanking anybody for that. We just want to go with God. Amen? Amen. Let's sing. Let's sing. That is when you sing. Here we go. Band's going to come. Oh, I didn't pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Jesus, for all this truth. And you say that we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. So, Lord, just pray now for a great freedom and liberty in singing. And, Lord, thank you that we can continue and continue in prayer without ceasing. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would desire prayer for anything today, the prayer room is open for you. And there goes Sherry to open the prayer room. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you for that paved work, that plain highway. So may the Lord bless you today and just continue to lead you step by step through your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.